message from this morning entitled 10 Times Better. There in the book of Daniel chapter 1, and we read through the first few verses there, going mostly through verse 7. We touched on verse 8. 10 times better, and was mentioning this morning, kind of asked the question that we would all like to live a life, of course, that is 10 times better than what it is now. That seems very nice, very enjoyable. And also, but on the flip side of that, as we've seen in the first several verses of Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, we've seen how it seems like the devil in this world was doing everything it could to make things 10 times worse. And so just to kind of recap, I don't want to get into a whole lot of it, but we've seen in the first few verses, and what the devil in this world, Nebuchadnezzar, a picture of the devil, and Babylon, a picture of this world, energized by the devil himself, there in verse 1, had besieged Jerusalem. We apply that today, and we can just kind of see that is how the world, and energized by the devil himself, is besieging our lives and besieging God's people, seeking to do everything it can to drown out anything that could come in our way, seeking to do everything it can to starve the people. That's what they did in the besiegements there. We also see that they were taken captive. We see the imprisonment. That was one of the first truths there. We know that the devil seeks to imprison anybody that he can. And that is, in essence, what happened to these folks. They were imprisoned. And then we also see that not only did that take place, but we also see the indoctrination that the world and the devil was doing all they could to give to the nation of Israel and to the king's seed. And then we also see the investment that they were making into these folks. We understood that there is a world out here today energized by the devil himself that is investing every single second and every single minute and every single hour into bringing God's people down, or from deterring people from getting saved or coming to the knowledge of the truth. The devil is investing every single second that he has, because the Bible does tell us that he knows that his time is short. And because he knows his time is short, he is investing every single second that he has to apply false doctrine into this world, whether it's in the world, whether it's in the church, to besiege people's individual lives and besiege their homes and do everything he can to starve them of spiritual truth and light that would seek to come into their life. And so we can see the investment that this world and the devil himself is making in the individual and the home. The Bible said there in verse 5 that the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat. And so daily, every single day, this world, energized by the devil, is making a daily, second-by-second investment to steer people away from the truth. Then we see how in verses 6 and 7 we see the identity. We understand this morning, and kind of mostly ended with that, that we see that our nation is in an identity crisis, where people don't know who they are and what they are any longer. And we can see there in verses 6 and 7 what it is that the devil in the world decides to do and derives to do. Their goal is, of course, there in verse 5, to daily provide a portion of the king's meat, which is a good picture, as I said, of the devil and what he offers and provides, and tries to nourish them with that. The Bible said there in verse 5, for 3 years, and then wanted to see what their outcome would be. But there also in verses 6 and 7, we see the identity crisis of the day, and not just of our day, but the day in which they were in. We see that Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, that their names were changed. And their names were changed to, in verse 7, Belshazzar. We see also Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And we went over this morning what those names meant. And the whole idea, in essence, to change their names was to get them to forget who they are, to change their identity, for them to forget about their traditions, for them to forget about what their names mean. such as Daniel, God is my judge, or Hananiah, God is gracious, or Azariah, Yahweh has helped, or Mishael, who is like the mighty one. And so the world, and we see Nebuchadnezzar, his desire was to change their identity so that they would forget who they were and what their names meant, and forget about the traditions that they had grown up and followed, had been taught. And I can look out in the world today and I see the very same thing. I see the devil doing the exact same thing today that we see in verses 1 to 7 right here in the Scriptures. Doing everything he can to invest every moment, to invest every second, to imprison and hold captive the people of the world, and to indoctrinate them with his belief and what the things that he desires for them to believe and know. And then we also see there in verses 6 and 7 to change their identity and who they are and what they know to be true and what they know to be right. And then we get on to verse 8 as we begin here tonight in the second part of this message, and we say, okay, well, if I want to live my life 10 times better, then what is it that I need to do? Well, I think there are some things right off the bat that we can obviously say that there are some things that we would need to do. Now, of course, in this day, and I think as well in their day, is that we would want to make sure that we are a people that is walking with God. Amen? That we are walking close to the Lord. We want to make sure that we are a people who are filled with the Spirit of God. So that we, because those the Bible says that are filled with the Spirit of God, will not produce the works of the flesh in their life. And so we want to make sure that we are a people that is walking with God and filled with the Spirit of God. We also want to make sure that we are a people that is ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us of the hope that is within us. We need to be able to tell these folks that, listen, this is why I believe what I believe. This is why I have faith and trust in my God. And this is why I walk the way in which I walk. Not because this is what the world says. Not because this is what the population or the masses of the people say. And I'll say this for the third time. I said it this morning and last week. But you've heard it said before that what's popular is not always right, but what's right is not always popular. And just because the world says, and just because the government says, and just because Congress says that there is a way in which a man ought to live, does not mean that that supersedes and has more authority over the Word of God. And so let us understand here tonight that we as God's people must make sure that there are certain things that we do. Walking in the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God. Being ready to give an answer to every man that asketh us of the hope that is within us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us to not be conformed to the world. And so we must but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Listen, as I said this morning, there is an indoctrination process in this world today to get the people of God, but not just the people of God, represented as the king's seed in our text, but also the world itself, to follow a certain path and to go in a certain direction so that we will begin to accept things that we know are not true, that we know are not right, and that we know in ourselves are not acceptable in the sight of God. Let us make sure that we are not a people that grabs a hold of sin and brings it into our bosom and says, yes, this is okay with the Lord, when the Scriptures obviously tell us that it is not. What does the Bible tell us? How can a man bring fire into his bosom and not be burned? Listen, let us understand today that when we take things upon ourselves and within ourselves, and we handle things that are not good for us and are not healthy for us, we are asking for trouble, and we are asking for pain, and we are asking for hurt and heartache. How can a man bring fire into his bosom and not be burned? Listen, if we allow things into our life that are not good for us, that will harm us and hurt us, how can we expect for things to go the way they need to go and be right and be good for us as a people? It will not. And it will not as a nation as well. And so, and you've heard it said before, so goes the home, so goes the nation. And there is a lot of truth in that. As we look here in verse 8, what are some things that we can do? Notice, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And that kind of goes back to the Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that I was just mentioning. Listen, the Bible says that He purposed in His heart. The very first truth on the second part of this message is that we see He was committed. He was committed to serving God. He was committed to doing what was right. He was committed in making sure that He didn't defile Himself with that which the world had to offer Him. He was committed in making sure He was not going to allow the indoctrination process that the devil was willing to provide on every single second and every minute and every hour and every day and every week and month of the year, that He was not going to allow this to change His life, to defile Himself. And as God's people here tonight, we have to be committed and devoted to the true God of heaven. When we know what is true and what is right, that we will not allow these things out here in this world to come into our home and lives and take over that which we know to be true and right. And the Bible says that Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And listen, purposing in our heart, being committed in our heart, that we're going to serve God no matter what. That, listen, we got to understand the situation that they were in. Right now, we're preaching more. Listen, there's a lot of evil, wicked things going on around us, but we can still kind of preach here tonight in safety, so to speak. But here we got to understand where these people were. They were surrounded by their enemies. They were in prison. They didn't hardly have nobody to go to. And here we see Daniel, who says God is my judge. He was willing to understand, looking past what he sees in front of him, understand that there is an eternity coming. The one person that he wanted to make sure that he was pleasing to in his life was not the judge that he saw before him face to face here, but the judge that he knew that one day he was going to stand before in heaven. And so he sees all these folks all around him, and he still purposes in his heart. He sees the guards. He sees the death of his people. He sees the difficulties and the hard times that everybody are going through, and yet he still purposes in his heart to do that which is right. He was committed and devoted to an Almighty God, to His Almighty God, to our Almighty God here tonight. Daniel was purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. And that's what we have to do within ourselves, is purpose in our heart that we're not going to allow ourselves to be defiled by the things of this world. And I know that we live in a world today where we see sins all around us. Listen, we are sinners. Amen. We can't escape our own selves. We're all sinners here tonight. But we understand and see that there is a lot of sinful, evil, wicked things that are taking place outside these doors. And as God's people, we got to understand that we have to be purposed in our heart that we're going to serve God no matter what. I like this, and believe me, I believe that Shadrach and Meshach, listen, I don't want to really call them that. I believe that Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, I believe that all three of those young men, that they had a heart to serve God. I believe all three of them did. I believe they proved it there. We see them walking there. None of them bowed down whenever the image was brought up before them and they were cast into the fire. They all had a desire to serve God. But I want you to see and understand this too. When we get down here to verse 8, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he was going to serve, that purpose in his heart that he was not going to be defiled by the king's meat. Now that's not going to say that the other men were not, but I will just tell you this. We got to understand this too, that sometimes, what if it would have been that Daniel was the strongest one out of the four? If Daniel would have gave in, maybe the other three would have too. Listen, we got to understand here tonight that, listen, we have an effect, a cause and effect on each other. And as God's people, if one gives in to this over here, then other people who may not be quite as spiritually strong may follow through with the very same thing because they are not strong enough within themselves to stand up for what they know to be true and right. And so the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat, and follow suit with that is his other friends. And so I'm just trying to get us to see here tonight that it is extremely important that we understand that our life has a cause and effect. That no, the Bible says no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. And every decision that we make and don't make is going to have some sort of effect, positive or negative. And just understanding here tonight that it could be, you could be the very one that may be helping those that are not spiritually secure in their life, who are not maybe spiritually as strong as you are. You may be the very one that may be helping them to stand up for what they know is true and stand up for what they know is right. Because if had it not maybe been for you and the strength that you possess, that God has given you, they may fall. And so, we see here in verse 8 that Daniel had purpose in his heart that he would serve the Lord. Now, I believe the other men were good men as well. I believe that they were, they loved the Lord. I believe they wanted to follow God. We see that it's obvious in their life. That's what they wanted to do. But just wanted to point out there in verse 8 that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He had purposed in his heart. He was committed. And as I said, understanding that that Daniel was faced with a lot of things that was going on around him. But despite the evil that was around him, he had to make sure that he had a committed heart to serve God. Because listen, if your heart's not committed to serving God, how many of you know this? That oftentimes, and maybe we have been guilty of it ourselves, that because the masses or the majority, whether we were the group of friends or family or whatever it was, that because of the decision that they made, we just kind of went right along with it, knowing in our heart that it wasn't the right thing. Amen? And we kind of fell into that peer pressure. We kind of fell into that. And so we just kind of followed the masses because of that. And I just want us to see and understand, listen, Daniel, here he is. He's got all these things that's happening all around him. And so he has to remain committed in his heart to do what is right. Not only because he has these folks right here beside of him, his friends, but also because there is a world of lost and dying people in front of him that are serving false gods and going to a devil's hell. And how would they ever know about a true and almighty loving God in heaven had he not stood up and been a representative? Amen? And let's just be truth and honest about it. Here we see a good picture of Daniel, and not just Daniel, but his friends. But we see a good picture of these men being a light to a lost and dying world. And he had to remain committed in the midst of all of these things that was going on. Remain committed in the midst of all the evil that was taking place around him. You may be sitting there saying, well, preacher, I got so much stuff going on around me. I got so much stuff happening around me. What is it that I need to do? Stay committed in serving God. Stay committed. Stay the course. Do that which you have to do to serve God. But don't you quit. Don't you give up. But you stay committed in doing that which God desires for you to do in your life, because there is too much at stake for any of us here tonight. Too much at stake for any of us here tonight to refuse to be that light. And so the Bible shows us here that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So we see that he was committed. There in verse 9, the Bible says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Aren't you glad there in verse 9 how God is working behind the scenes, when oftentimes we don't even see it or recognize it? Here we see that in verse 8, Daniel had purposed in his heart that he was going to serve God. And I think because he had done that, we see there in verse 9 that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And so we can see the enemy across the table would in essence become Daniel's friend. And the Bible tells us that he was in favor with Daniel and had tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. We can see that the Bible shows us and represents unto us that even in the midst of all of the terrible things that's going on, that God was allowing the eunuchs, this eunuch in particular right here, to be a friend to Daniel in the midst of the situation that he was in. Because God was going to use that situation for a purpose, which we'll look at here in just a moment. But I'm just thankful here tonight that even though sometimes we begin to wonder in our minds, is God moving? I mean, all this is going on. I mean, imagine Daniel and his friends, and they're in prison, and the nation of Israel has been run over and with by Nebuchadnezzar, and here the children of Israel, they're taken captive, and there Daniel is. He's looking around. His friends are there. They're looking around and thinking, man, there's sin everywhere. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, nobody wants to serve God. Nobody loves God. We're in prison. The devil's, Nebuchadnezzar, doing everything he can to indoctrinate us, doing everything he can to make us defile ourselves and doing all of this. I mean, there was no escape. And sometimes in life it feels like there is no escape. Where can I go to get away from all of this? And we can. And it's all around us. And it's around us. So what do? The Bible says that he was committed. He purposed in his heart that he would not allow the king's meat to defile his life. He was committed despite what was going on. He was committed despite how tough it was. He was committed despite what he saw, despite what he heard. He was committed with all of it. And listen, I'm just trying to get us to see tonight. Listen, hard times do come. Sometimes we do feel like that there is no way of escape. But what are we going to do? We got a purpose within our heart that we're going to serve God regardless. Amen. You just got to do it. Because listen, the devil's sitting there and he's just waiting for you tonight to give up and say, I quit, and say, I'm done, to say, I'm finished, to say, I don't want no more. But listen, your family is worth too much for you to give up. Your church is worth too much for you to give up. Your community is worth too much for you to give up. This nation in which we live is worth too much for us to give up. And it may be the light that we show here tonight will be the only light that the people outside those doors ever see. And here tonight, we got to be a people that purposes within our heart that we're not going to quit, that we're not going to give up. And there in verse 9, and sometimes we begin to wonder, God, do you see what's going on? But God was moving in the background. God was moving behind the scenes. God was formulating, and God was moving and planning, and God was bringing a help to Daniel. The Bible says in verse 9 that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And there in verse 10, the Bible says, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. We see Daniel doesn't want to defile himself with the king's meat. And the prince of the eunuchs that he's talking to, the one that God has allowed to befriend Daniel, begins to open up himself about how he really feels there in verse 10. And he says, the Bible says, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king. Listen, I believe as God's people, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and I do believe that we ought to fear God. The Bible says, fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We ought to have a respectful, reverent fear of the Lord. And we live in a day in which people have lost that. We need to understand that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, especially when it's in chastening or judgment. Understanding that the Creator of the universe, but the Bible tells us in the book of Job that in His hand holds the breath of all living things, the soul of everything. So we understand here tonight we do need to have a reverent, respectful, all-inspiring fear of the Lord. But this man right here was different. It wasn't that he had a... It wasn't that... See, we serve... I fear the Lord, yes. But I also love the Lord. This man right here, I don't think he loved Nebuchadnezzar. I think he just feared him. Because the Bible even tells us, we read on in that latter part of this verse, he says, I'm afraid I'll lose my head if I do what you want me to do. And so we can see, listen, why do I serve God? Do I have a reverent respect, all-inspiring love, fear of God? Yes. But also, I preach because I love God. I serve because I love God. I give because I love God. This man served because he was afraid he would lose his head if he didn't. And there's a difference. This man who was serving his own master. This man who was serving Nebuchadnezzar, who was a picture of the devil. This man who was serving the world was fearful of his own master. Was fearful of his own leader. And I'm not talking the same fear that we have for God. This man feared Nebuchadnezzar because he was afraid that he would lose his life. He understood. This man, Melzar, understood that Nebuchadnezzar cared less about his life. All he wanted him to do was to do your job. And that's what I want us to see and understand tonight. That the devil, this world, could care less about your life. It could care less about the desires that you want to live for God. Care less about any of that stuff. Listen, we see here Melzar, the prince of the eunuchs here, the reason why he feared God was, the reason why he feared Nebuchadnezzar was because he was afraid he would lose his life. He wasn't serving because he loved Nebuchadnezzar. He was serving because he was afraid he would die. Listen, I'm serving the Lord, and you're serving the Lord here tonight because we love the Lord. Do we respect the Lord, and do we have reverence to the Lord, and do we fear God and His power and His judgment? And yes, we do. But I also understand that my God in heaven also loves. I also understand that my God in heaven wants the best for me. I also understand that my God in heaven has a desire to see me flourish. My God in heaven has a desire to see me blessed. Nebuchadnezzar could have cared less about Melzar. Nebuchadnezzar could have cared less about his life, could have cared less about his family. All he needed Melzar to do is, you just do what I tell you to do. Feed them the king's meat. That's all he wanted him to do. Could care less about Melzar. Listen, we have a God that says, cast all ye care upon Him, for He careth for you. I guarantee you, Melzar here probably never poured his heart out to Nebuchadnezzar. Here we see the prince of we see there in verse 10. The Bible says, and the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. You see, once again, that it was that which the devil desired for them to have was something that was appointed to them. He hath appointed your meat and your drink. Something specific just for you. Something that he knows that you would like. How many of you know the devil knows what you like? Yeah, he does. He knows you better than you know yourself. The Bible says it was appointed your meat and your drink. For why should we see? Notice he says, Melzar speaking, the prince of the eunuchs. He says, for why should we see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Here Daniel was saying, listen, I don't want to defile myself with the king's meat. I don't want to drink his wine. I don't want his meat. I don't want anything that he has to offer. And Melzar, who has now befriended Daniel, is saying, listen, if I don't give this to you, then what's going to happen is you're not going to look as good as all these other ones. And they're going to be able to tell a difference between the two of you. And if you don't look like they do, then it's going to be noticed. It's going to be seen. Notice he says there in the text in verse 10. He says, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? And so it's obvious for us to see here tonight that whenever you're serving, when you're serving the Lord and you're serving the devil, that there is an obvious difference. And he says there, right there in the text, he says, listen, he says, if I don't give you the king's meat, then there's going to be a difference. He's going to see it. He's going to recognize that you're not one of them. He's going to see that you're not following the same path, that you're not going in the same direction, that you're not following the instructions that you're supposed to follow. Because if you don't go in the way of death and the way of destruction, if you don't go in the broad way that the masses of the people of the world say that you need to go, then there's going to be a noticeable difference in your life, and he's going to know about it. And that is true. Listen, when you live for God, there is a difference. There should be a noticeable difference. And he says, for why should he see your faces worse liking the children which are of your sort? And then shall you make me in danger. my head to the king. He says, listen, if I do what you want me to do, I'm going to die. If I do that which you want me to do, the king is going to have my head and I'm going to be done. He said, if I do what I want, if I do what you want me to do and I don't give you the king's meat and I don't give you the king's wine, and what's going to happen is he's going to see that there's a difference between these people and you. And whenever he sees that difference between them and you, then he is going to have me killed for me not doing my job. So we can see that Melzar was only serving because he feared Nebuchadnezzar. Not because he loved Nebuchadnezzar. Because he feared what would happen to him. The Bible shows us here, verse 11. Which brings us to our next truth. Not only do we see the commitment, but we see the challenge. The challenge is in verses 12 to 16. We'll read it. The Bible says, let's begin there in verse 11. The Bible says, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee. How long?
10 days.
And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse, like things, seeds, seed substances, beans, peas, things like that, plant-based. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Notice, he turned away from the wine and went to the water. Good for him. Amen. Don't defy yourself with that mess. And then, we also see he didn't want the king's meat. He desired to have the pulse. But then he said there in verse 6, he showed us there in the text in verse 12, he says, I beseech thee 10 days. The challenge was this. In 10 days, we'll look different than they do. In 10 days, see, the devil over there in the world was said, I'll feed you for 3 years there in verse 5. I'll give you what I want to give you for 3 years, and after 3 years, I'll bring you before us, and we'll see what kind of change it's made. Daniel says, I tell you what, it ain't going to take 3 years. Tell you what, you just do what I want. You just do what I'm saying, and in 10 days, you'll see something different. So we see a 10-day challenge. I was talking this morning about how, and it's just what I call it, you know, I just call it plugged into the system. And as I was preparing the message, I thought to myself, you know, what a challenge that actually is to unplug from the system for 10 days. To get out of it for 10 days. I didn't say out of church. Unplugging from the system for 10 days. Getting your heart right with God for 10 days. Thinking about the Lord. Concentrating. Fasting even. Doing all of this for 10 days. Bringing that inside of yourself, that which would be pleasing to God. And pulling ourselves away from the world and the things of the world for 10 days. And just allowing God to speak to our hearts. What would 10 days do to our life? Very well change. We see right here, he said it's not going to take 3 years to see a difference. You give me 10 days. He says, prove thy servants. So we see the challenge. And he says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with us. He said, you give us 10 days, and you give us what we desire, and then you give them what they desire. And he says, and I guarantee you, after 10 days, you take a look at us, and you be the judge for yourself, and after 10 days, you'll see that there's a difference in us and a difference in them after 10 days. So we see the challenge he puts in place. In verse 14, the Bible says that he consented to them in this matter. And prove them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh. See, that's why I don't eat green beans. I'm afraid of what it's going to do to me. Stay away from it. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children
which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now I understand here in verse 15 that we are talking about things that we are partaking of in the flesh and things that we are bringing in, but you got to understand, as we apply to our lives the spiritual aspect of what's going on, we see that whenever when we partake of the things of this world, it's kind of like the things that we can eat. You ever heard of empty calories? Things that fill you up but aren't any good for you, right? They don't really give you that which you need. And that's kind of what this world is. It's just empty calories. It's just something that's empty. But what we desire to do is we desire to partake of something that's good, something that's going to be beneficial to our life, something that's going to help us, something that's going to inspire us, something that's going to engage us. And so we can see right here that he says, I tell you what, after 10 days you're going to see a difference. And that's, of course, exactly what happened. And the Bible says that their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children of Israel which had eaten the portion of the king's meat. So understand this. That Daniel and his friends right here were men that stood up and tried to be a light. But not everybody did. A lot of the people of the children of Israel did not go in the same direction. They gave in. They began to take part of the king's meat. But Daniel and his friends, they did not. And at the end of those 10 days, 10 days, not 3 years, 10 days, there was a noticeable difference. There was a noticeable difference in these people. And I understand we're talking about the flesh here, but also understand the spiritual aspect of this, as I'm trying to get us to see tonight, that if we would spend time not partaking of the king's meat and the things that the devil and this world have a desire to fill our lives of, but if we'll just take 10 days and we take a 10-day challenge upon ourselves and we say, you know what, if I'll just take 10 days to unplug myself from the system, if I just take 10 days just to think about God and praise God, and 10 days to just read God's Word and dwell on God's Word and read God's Word and praise His name and be thankful, and if I just take 10 days to do these things in my life, to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to pray for my pastor, and to pray for my church, and to pray for my nation, to pray for all these things. And I spent 10 days just doing everything I can to please God. I believe there would be a difference in every single one of us. The Bible says right here that there was a difference between them, a noticeable difference. And thus, verse 16. The Bible says, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. You know what he began to see? Melzar began to see that the way in which he followed for so long was the wrong way. Had not Daniel stood up, Melzar would have never known. Had Daniel not stood up, Melzar would have never noticed. He would have never known that which he had been following, and that which he had been indoctrinated with, and that which he, and the direction that he was going, even if it was Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon, the greatest nation, most powerful nation of the day. Just because that's what they were doesn't mean that they were right. Doesn't mean that that's the direction that we should go. But Melzar would have never known that this way was the wrong way had Daniel not stood up and said, I desire not to defile myself. I wonder how much Melzar's life was changed because Daniel said, I desire to be a light. Sometimes we're in this situation, as I said, and it seems like things are very, they may not seem like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And that, yes, and things that are dark. But if we stay the course and we stay committed and trust in God and we believe in the Lord and we be the light that God has called us to be, the city that is on the hill, the Bible says, it cannot be hid. The candle that is on the candlestick that is there for all to see. If we desire to be that, then there will be a difference. And the Bible says in verse 16, notice that we obviously see that Melzar, he took notice of this. And when he noticed this, he took away the portion of their meat. He saw for himself
that which he believed and the direction that he followed was wrong. He saw for himself that there was a different way. And so he took away that which would be defiling to Daniel and his friends. And the Bible says he took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, now we come into the next truth, their compensation. And what I mean by compensation is the blessings that God gave them for being what they needed to be. And the Bible says, and for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And God gave them knowledge, and God gave them wisdom, and God gave them skills. Notice these were things that God gave them, not things that they had on their own. These were things that God gave them, and God gave them these things because they were obedient to the Word of God. Because they trusted God, because they were obedient to God. Because even when they were surrounded by evil and the forces of darkness, even when they were outnumbered by the masses of people going in a different direction than they were, they still stood their ground. They decided to be a light, and God blessed them because of that. And God was moving and working behind the scenes the whole time with Melzar. Because I believe not only was God moving in David's life and his friend's life, I believe it's very possible that God could be moving in Melzar's life. We just don't know the ins and outs of it. But there was a compensation for their faith and trust in God, and God equipped them, and God gave them knowledge and skill and learning and wisdom, all these things. We're almost done. The Bible says, verse 18, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. So the day come to where everybody was being presented before the king. The day is here. And the king communed with them there in verse 19, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. I like how in verse 19, even though they were given the other names, they went. Verse 19 tells their real names. In verse 20, the Bible says that in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, these four men, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. They were 10 times better. We sit here tonight and we say, preacher, I want to be 10 times better in my life. It's very admirable. So do I. I want to be 10 times better. But you know how we're going to be 10 times better? Stop eating the king's meat. Stop eating the king's meat 10 times better. The Bible shows us here that there was a noticeable difference. Melzar saw it. Not only did Melzar see it, but whenever they were brought before the king saw it. And when the king looked at those boys, I believe he was stunned and in awe. Whenever he looked at these boys and he saw them and he said within himself, the Scripture records it, that he said that these men right here, these boys right here, man, they're better than all the people that I have and all the my whole realm, the whole nation of Babylon. These four guys right here are better than all of them. They have more wisdom. They have more knowledge. They have more understanding. And not only that, they look better. And they were 10 times better than what they were. But the world would have us to believe tonight that what you need in your life is the king's meat. You need what I want to give you. You have to have this. You have to have this. You have to have that. No, I don't. If I want to be 10 times better in my life, all I need is what the King of Kings wants to give me. Not the kings of this world, not the kings of the world, but what the King of Kings desires to give me. And if I'll just
partake in that which He desires to give me, I'll be 10 times better than anything that this world can possibly offer. Let's pray. Father, we come to You tonight. Lord, I know it's late. Lord, I pray that You would help us this evening. Lord, as we prepare to close the service, Lord, I pray tonight that the message has spoken to all of our hearts as the piano plays. Lord, I pray that whatever it is that we need to do in our life, God, that You'd help us, even this evening, to do business with You. If there's anybody here tonight that's not saved, that they would get saved. The greatest thing a man can do in his life is accept Christ as his Savior. If you're not saved, that's the very first step that you need in your life, is to get saved. Could be you sit here this evening saying, "Preacher, if I died tonight, I don't think I'd go to heaven," or "I don't know," or "I'm not sure if I'm saved." Listen, whatever it could be, don't walk out here with doubts. Don't walk out here with none of that. But understand and know tonight where you're going. And if you're here this evening, you can honestly say within yourself that if I died today, I know I wouldn't go to heaven. That I need to get saved. Listen, nobody's looking but me and God. Just lift your hand up so I can say, "I'm not going to embarrass you. I can come to you." Say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I need to get saved. I need to get saved. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven." Anybody like that here tonight? As we stand to our feet here this evening, the altars are already open. People are already here. You want to come and pray? I encourage you to. Whatever God has laid on your heart, whatever God is dealing with you about, if you feel like you're in some dark days, maybe you need to come. Just say, "God, help me to remain committed." If you're in some confusing times in your life, "God, help me to remain committed." Committed in prayer. Committed in serving. Committed in that which God is calling me to do. Help me to stay committed. I believe with all my heart here this evening, when we give God our lives and we trust in Him, God will work and already is, perhaps in your situation, in your life. Daniel, I imagine, had no idea that Melzar would ever even become his friend. But he did. Could be you're here tonight and you're saying, "Lord, I know that I need work. God, I know I need help. But Lord, please help me, God, to be an example that I need to be. Please, God, help me to be a light." Listen, understand tonight, your light may be the only light that some people ever see. There are some people that are living in such darkness that the only light they ever see, the only truth they ever see or hear, is whenever you're around them. And it just may very well be your light that God has given you. The example that you are being that help others continue in their faith, or may even help to lead somebody to Christ. You could be sitting here praying tonight, "Lord, help me over the next 10 days. Not to swallow so much of what this world is offering. Help me, God, over the next 10 days. Not to take so much in myself and what the devil's trying to give. But help me over the next 10 days to be as pleasing to you as possible."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Amy, for playing. All right. Well, sorry it's so late tonight. Sorry to keep you this late on the